Okay, that concludes our Sunday message. Great stuff, isn't it? From the eyes of a child, no questions, isn't there? How God entered the world, no question, right? They got the story. They got some exaggerations to the story. They got some neat things in the story. But you know what? They didn't hesitate, did they? They just said, you know, they talked about the shepherds and the angels, and they talked about the angel talking to Mary and talking to Joseph, and they had it all in there, didn't they? No questions on that. Let's look at today's passage with those kind of eyes on our heart this morning. Matthew 1, 18 through 23. Here's Matthew's account where the story, and remember it's a narrative, involves Joseph's encounter with the angel of the Lord. It's a simple narrative. Look what he has to say. Look at it with me. He writes this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" And Matthew writes, "Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus." What an incredible little impactful story that's there. Can you imagine Matthew writing that? Putting down, now here's the birth of Christ. Here it is, the simple answer to it. Mary and they were betrothed, and Joseph, and then she was with child, and it was by the Holy Spirit. And just incredible, simple narrative for us to just believe and trust in our heart what God has to say. So let's look at this simple narrative, begin with verse 18. Let me read it to you again. He just writes, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." What a simple narrative. Matthew is trying to tell us something here. Let me give you a little insight on what he's trying to say. What he is saying is, here's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Here's the origin of Christ from the divine side of the birth. You see that word birth there in verse 18. Look it up at verse 1 in Matthew there. The record, look at verse 1. "The record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah." You see the word genealogy? It's the same word as birth in the original language. That's in verse 18. Matthew's just communicating. He's just writing it. First in verses 1 through 17, he says, here is the origin, here's the genealogy, here's how you say that word in the Greek, Genesis. Here's the Genesis, the human side of how Jesus came into the earth. And he talks about it, that Abraham fathered Isaac, and he goes through all of that. He tells about the human side, and then in verse 18, he says, now the genealogy, the Genesis, the origin of Jesus Christ from God's side. That's what he's saying. Because God is involved here, is what he's talking about. 1 through 17, the human side, 18 through 25, God's side of Jesus. Parallel accounts of the ancestry of the Lord's birth. And he says it was as follows. Look at verse 18. And here it is as follows. Here's the involvement of God. Listen to what he says. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Betrothed, that's sort of an engagement. That's what was going on back then. It was a promise to be each other, committed to each other. They were usually pretty young. Sometimes it was a family arrangement. A lot of times it was where they arranged to be married and that kind of thing. So some of you young kids, maybe get ready for the arrangement. Maybe your parents might make. I'm just kind of teasing there. But it was, like that. And they would be betrothed. It would be committed to each other for, most of the time it was a year. And each person that was betrothed still stayed at home with each other, and they learned to have a or stayed at home with their parents, and they learned how to interact, learned how to have a relationship. Their love for each other grew, all those kind of things. It was, but their marriage wasn't consummated until they were married. That's when they became intimate, because purity was expected, purity was required. So Matthew says, before they came together, before they ever were intimate, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, just think of that. It's a simple story. God brought forth the baby in Mary with no human involvement. That's what he's saying. Here's the genealogy. Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and then she was with child of the Holy Spirit while they were betrothed, before they ever got married. They never came together. They never were intimate. It's Galatians 4:4, if you think about it, we've read that before, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Have we ever gasped that when he said he sent forth his son, this is how it was sent forth? This is how he came. It's Luke 1:35, where the angel answered and said to Mary, Mary had some questions in Luke 1:35, and the same angel that answers Mary to who was talking to Joseph, and the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Spirit shall be, or the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. There you go. That's the origin of Jesus Christ. That's the genealogy. That's the Genesis from God's side. Listen to this. God the Father, by the work of the Holy Spirit, placed Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, in the egg of the womb of Mary as a human being. Conception started then, and human life began for Jesus Christ then, although Christ existed before all things because he's eternal. That's the simple narrative going on here. You know, children just go, wow, that's amazing. They just take it as face value. As you become older and you talk to people in your life and tell them about how God came with us and how it was a virgin birth and how this happened, sometimes the adult heart and the adult eyes are filled with questions that God just wants us to come with faith and believe like a child in what it says in his word. God entered the world through birth as the man Jesus Christ. I just wrote wow on there. Kind of captivated me as I went through this and saw the words and heard the narrative again, and we're impacted by that. Now, at the moment, after verse 18, Joseph only knows that Mary's with child. Now, you guys would all agree Joseph's going to be kind of going, whoa, right? You know, it's like the story and that we said there, you know, yeah, Mary's telling the truth as Gabriel talks to him. You know, the angel does. She is with child. You know, he's like, what? I mean, you, come on, put yourself in the narrative. Put yourself in the story. You know, what's going on here? So, you know, we get the confusion, you know, of Joseph, don't we? That's just part of the narrative as we go along. We get the confusion. Look at verse 19. That's why it's in the story. Here's what it says. It says, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now, he's trying to figure this out. And he's a righteous man. You know what that means, righteous man? He wants to follow God. He desires to do what God wants to do. It's like Noah, in a sense. He honored God and he walked with God. That's what that word is, means the word of God, the law of God, righteous. He's wanting to do what God would want to do. You know what the law of God says at this time, if this happened? The law of God says that if they find this out, they take Mary outside of the city and they stone her to death. That's what the law of God says. This is what Joseph's have to deal with. And then if they find the man, because Joseph knows it isn't him, if they find out who that is, they can do the same thing too. So he's a God-fearing man, he's a God-honoring man, and he wants to do what's right, and he's trying to figure it out, and he loves this girl. This is my betrothed, this is somebody that I've given my heart to, this is who I'm in a relationship with, and so you see all this going on, and you can see in the text there, when they say the words that in verse 19 and 20, he considered this, he had planned this, he's going to do something about this. He's trying to figure out how he can honor God and not disgrace this young lady that he loves. It's all real human emotion going on. It's all real things going on. God doesn't want, it's just not like, oh, okay, you know, that kind of thing. This is torquing these two like it wouldn't anybody with what's happening. You see, Joseph loves Mary. He wants the best for Mary. Though this has happened, he doesn't want to disgrace her, so he plans on separating from her in secret, and he had time to think about it. But I'm just so glad that God brings clarity to the story, aren't you? Look at the next verses. Look what he says. The story continues on the clarity of God. Look what God brings in verse 20 and 21. Then God writes, you know, through Matthew and tells us that, but when he had considered this is Joseph, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream and speaks to his heart. The word of God says Joseph was told in a dream by an angel of the Lord, hey, don't do that. I know what you're considering. I know what you're thinking. I know how you figured out how you're going to work this out or whatever that is. But he says, don't do that. Don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're grasping the story and it's been conceived in her, but let me give you what conceived, that word there, where it else is in the text. Look at verse 2 of chapter 1. Now, let me read that to you, and where it says this, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah, and conceived in our verse, in verse 20, is the same word as fathered. So when you listen to the story and what God is saying, that, hey, Joseph knows the lineage of his own. He knows where he's come. He knows who his father was, his grandfather. That's how they talked. That's how they lived. That's what's in their life. When he hears the angel of the Lord speak to him, he says, the Holy Spirit has fathered the child. That's what he hears. That God has done this, that God fathered. You know, we believe that. We trust that. We're familiar with that, but what an incredible thing that Joseph is hearing. Through the eyes of a child, it's like, well, God just brought forth Jesus Christ as a baby. He's the one that placed it in the womb of Mary, and that's what it is. But sometimes we're taken back with the struggle in our adulthood to believe and trust in just what God's word says, don't we? This is central to our faith. God fathered this baby, the angel of the Lord says to Joseph. Look at verse 15. It's right here in the text. Eliad was the father of Eliezer. Eliezer, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. Look at verse 16. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, in whom Jesus was born, who's called the Messiah. It doesn't say the father of Jesus, does it? God is clear in the virgin birth. God is clear in that he's the one that has fathered. He's the one that has brought, by the power of the Holy Spirit, placed this conception in the egg of Mary, in her womb, bringing life and placing the Lord Jesus Christ in that life. Right then and there at that moment. Right then and there in that life. That's what God did. Jesus was fathered by God in his humanity. God did this, Joseph. Take her as your bride. Verse 21. He says this. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He'll be the Messiah, the Lord and Savior. We know all of that. We could go through a lot of study, a lot of God's word on all that says, but let's put it simply. Isaiah chapter 45 says, when this baby becomes an adult, he'll say, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. John the Baptist said that when he saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the Savior is conceived here. in humanity. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That brings clarity to all that we're seeing here. It's just a simple story, a simple narrative that's to impact us each and every day. And then when we're around this time thinking about the birth of Christ, it's the story that God did this so God could be with us. Like I spoke last week in the story within the storm and the family and the birds, and how wouldn't it be amazing if he could just become like them? We could really see the way to salvation. It clears it all up. And this is all connected to God's promise. Listen to what he says next. Look at verse 22, 23. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Pastor Tom talked about it. He read it in the scriptures. We sang it in the song. But with the eyes of a child and the heart of a child, to believing and trusting and that God is with us. Who can stand against us? Life's difficulties, life's challenges, life's things that come our way. The simple childlike faith to know that what God has done so he could be with us, how could he ever forsake us? Even in your struggle with iniquity. See, this is an impactful thing. This is connected to a promise that God made a long time ago in the Word of God. Christ did not come to abolish what the prophets had said. He came to fulfill what the prophets had said. He came to fulfill all that was said about him in the Old Testament and what was written about him. Jesus said in Luke 24, 44, that all things that were written about me, this is what Jesus said in the Bible, in the law, and by the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And like I said, you know, Tom quoted it, read it. He was giving us the story. It's here's God's plan. The virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Right here in what we're hearing is the beginning of God with us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think with me that we know through the scriptures, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him, your life is now hidden in who? Christ. My life is in Christ. It's Paul, you couldn't get over using that word. You are in Christ and God is in you, or Christ is in you, the Spirit of God is in you, that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. See, when you come to faith in Christ and trust in him, God will never leave you or forsake you because you are in him and he is in you. That's just the promise of God. That's the way it becomes, and that's for eternity. And so here in the midst of what's going on in the Christmas story is the beginning of what God has planned from the beginning of his plan for creation, is that we would know him on who he is, why he came, and what he did. We would know the revelation of God, of who God is, and we would understand who we are, and we would be in an inseparable relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we sing the song, "For God is with us." That's the impact of what we're talking about. That's the revelation of what God is wanting us to see and understand. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Psalm 46:11. Now, did you guys notice something truly amazing about the whole passage? How about Joseph? What do you guys think of Joseph? Pretty amazing, isn't it? Come on, all you men, right? This happened to you, you think the angel talking to you, I mean, all of that kind of stuff, think of what's going on. Listen, look at the end of what Matthew tells us here. Look at the amazing thing. This guy's a follower of God, very young, probably 15, very perplexing situation. His bride-to-be is with child, and it's not his. So he's trying to figure out what he's going to do, honoring God's law, honoring God's word, and all of that. Then the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to him, in clarity, and he says, no, don't be afraid. Don't go that way. Don't go the way that you're concerned with or what you're contemplating. Take Mary as your wife. Marry her. The child that is conceived is by God. And name him Jesus when he's born, and he will save his people from their sin. He's the Messiah. Now look at verse 24 and 25 on what happens. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her as a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That's incredible. He just did what he was told. He just did what God's revelation, God's word, what God speaks, what God said. He just saw it in face value as a child and said, you know what, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Sure, he had the emotions. Sure, he had the contemplation. Sure, he had all the things. But the record of the word of God records for us that what he did is he just followed the commandments of God, childlike faith, trusting what God has to say. There's an encouragement for us somewhere in that word today, isn't there? In the message of Christmas, in the message of Christ, and what God has for us, and we celebrate a week from today the birth of Christ. We celebrate all through the week, all that God has given us. We give gifts, we love family, and all those kind of things. There's a message there in the response of that, realizing that what God was doing was far beyond him and his wife-to-be and his life-to-be. He just said, you know what, I'm just going to go with what God had in his word and what God has revealed to me and follow that and trust that in whatever the outcome was. There's an encouragement for us in that, isn't there? There should be. It's an important aspect of the whole story here is for us to be encouraged in our heart that all that God is doing is as incredible as what we just read. That he's changing your heart and mind, that he's ministering to you and where you're at, that he's patient and kind and forbearing with you and loving with you and encouraging you through the family and having you, using you to encourage another in the family or hold a hand or guide a direction or whatever it might be through the body of Christ, that God is with us, God is with you, and that God is at work. We don't have to always all figure it out, do we? It's about trust and it's about faith. And we know our struggles and we know our hard times and we know our obstinance. We know our rebellion. We know all those things in our life. But Emmanuel, it's good to sing that. I'm so thankful for Pastor Tom and what God put on his heart for this, because even in the midst of anything that you have going on, just go Emmanuel. God is with me. He cannot not be with you if you're born again, a believer in Christ. If you need that today, if you don't know the Lord, if you want God with you, if you want the salvation that God offers all that to him, it's just through simple belief and faith in that Jesus is the Son of God. He came in a virgin birth. He came and lived his life and gave his life on the cross to sacrifice his life for you and your sin and my sin. And then God rose him from the dead, brought him up to the dead. So if you believe and trust in him, God will rescue you, save you, and God will be forever be with you, and you will be with him, for he will be in you, and you will be in him. And it's childlike faith that brings salvation. It's just, I'm going to believe what God has said. I'm going to surrender my heart and life to that and trust and believe in what God has said. God is the one that does the work. Simple passage. A simple reading. Let's end with this. Will you turn your Bibles to Luke 2, 8 through 14? Just another great story, another great narrative in here, and I thought it would be good and appropriate to end with this today. Luke 2, verses 8 through 14, and I'm going to simply read it, make a comment, and then we'll pray, okay? Because here again in the narrative, God is just telling us what happened at this time, and it's absolutely true. There's no reason to doubt it. There's no reason that we have to figure it out. God is wanting us to read his word, see the story, see his word, his truths, and apply them to our life, embracing them as what God has revealed in the coming of Christ in his advent. Verse 8, in the same region there was some shepherds straying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, in whom he is pleased." That's how it all starts. Baby in a manger, in humble way, and an announcement of God that what is being brought forth is a Savior who is the child, the Lord. That brought peace among men to those whom he was well pleased. That's us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for recording the story in the Word of God for us to see and understand and know and grow in our relationship with you through that. Lord, we thank you for that. It is this just this simple. It was you. It was your work. It was your power, your glory. It was all of you. That nobody made you, that nobody forced you, that you didn't have to, that you made a choice. It's called God's love, to act on our behalf with passion, to choose to come and become a human like us. The incarnate Christ, to be born and live a life, to give your life on the cross, to die and be raised again, so we could know you, so we could see the revelation of who God is, so we could be with you, for you are with us. We just thank you for this time of year and for how warm it is in the sense of the fellowship that goes on in the family of Christ and how we minister to each other and in the individual families, Lord. But we want to pray and ask that you would guide and lead us to have eyes to see those around us where we could really minister to maybe someone in need. We want to be Christ-like in all that we do, and we want to be a testimony of the salvation that we have in Christ. We give you praise for all the blessings that are bestowed upon our life, for the abundance that each one of us have. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that's been lavished upon us, and we just come to you in a heart of worship with the eyes of a child, wanting to just believe in all that you have said and done wholeheartedly from the very depth of our soul, and then go forward in that belief. I thank you for the day and for your word to us and for this worship service where you have ministered to us as we've tried to honor you. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.